Hello, everyone. Welcome to Coffee with Convery. Today, we're honored to have Stephanie Wooden as our guest. She's hailing from the vibrant city of Halifax, Nova Scotia. Stephanie's not just a student, but a beacon of leadership and an inspiration to her community. She's currently serving as the president of Dalhousie Women in Business Association, and Stephanie's journey is one of dedication, ambition, and unwavering commitment to empowering women in the business world. Go, Stephanie! As a fourth-year Bachelor of Commerce co-op student at Dalhousie, Stephanie's academic pursuits are as diverse as her interests. Majoring in accounting and completing a certificate in disability management, she embodies the spirit of inclusivity and innovation. But Stephanie's journey towards leadership didn't begin with her current role. It's accumulation of years of hard work, passion, and relentless drive. Stephanie's impact extends far beyond the university campus. With a stint at KPMG Canada and as a staff accountant, audit, and in her involvement as campus ambassador, Stephanie is not just shaping her own future, but also inspiring those around her to reach for those stars. So grab your coffee, favorite drink, settle in, and join us as we embark on a journey of discovery with the remarkable Stephanie Wooden. Welcome, Stephanie.
Thank you so much.
So excited to have you here.
I'm excited to be here as well.
It's going to be fun. So first off, let's go through some rapid fire questions just to get to know you a little bit better. What are your pronouns?
My pronouns are she, her.
She, her. And what do you consider your superpower?
I would say I'm extremely hyper organized.
Love that. Love that. And this is a favorite question of mine because we always talk about different senses, but smells a sense, and sometimes when you think about it, it makes you think about a lot of other things. So what's your favorite smell?
It might be kind of boring, but I would say vanilla, and probably just because it reminds me of growing up and baking with like my grandmother and my mom. So that's definitely a favorite scent of mine.
It's not boring. That brings back a lot of memories. So you just said that's the part I love about this, because it always brings something to the table. So this question too is an interesting one, and I wanted to see, like, what is the best compliment you feel you've ever received?
For me personally, one time someone told me that I light up every room that I enter. And I think that that was a really positive thing to hear, because it's also just about my personality and like the aura I bring when I enter a room.
I love that. I love that. And I can feel the aura here on this podcast. You're bringing it on right now.
Good.
So we all have a favorite snack. What is your go-to snack?
I love popcorn.
Popcorn. Just plain or caramel or just...
I kind of just love all popcorn. I love the different seasonings, like white cheddar seasoning. Sometimes just butter and salt is good, but me and my roommate constantly are making popcorn together.
Popcorn. That's a good one.
Yeah.
What has been your favorite subject in school?
I would say in high school and junior high, I definitely loved math. It was something my brother and I liked to do together and kind of helped each other with. So definitely math. And then since doing university, I guess like a little bit more specific, I really liked my advanced financial accounting classes. Had a really great prof, super interesting. So definitely been a favorite of mine.
Good for you. That's awesome. We all start somewhere with a job, whether it's babysitting or mowing lawns or whatever the case may be. What was your very first job?
When I was 12, I started coaching youth soccer. I've played soccer my whole life, ever since I could walk and up until I graduated high school. So I got to coach some youth teams when I was in junior high, and that was super fun and a great way to make some money and also stay active.
That's awesome. Boy, what a young age to coach.
Yeah.
That's inspiring. If you had to pick one word to describe yourself, what would it be?
I would say I'm very motivated.
Motivated. Awesome. Well, I can't wait. Let's jump in here. Let's talk about your story. I got lots of listeners here on the podcast. So maybe could you just start where it all began in your transition from high school to university? You know, what were some of your biggest challenges to face during that transition? How'd you overcome that?
Yeah, so for me, I was unfortunately a 2020 graduate. So I graduated high school during COVID. Very, very confusing. It didn't change where I had planned to go to university. I was committed to Dalhousie, and it didn't change when COVID occurred. I know for some people it kind of changed where they maybe saw themselves. For me, it didn't. I still want to do the same program, wanted to go to the same university, so that was fine. But all my classes were remote, so I was taking 6 courses, both my first semester and second semester first year, fully remote online. And I didn't know anyone because it was online. There was an opportunity to really really be on campus. And it was very overwhelming and very scary for me because not only was I taking on all those normal changes of starting university and trying to meet people and really find your place, but it was online. So I was also battling learning how to learn online and retain information, stay engaged, stay interested. And it was really hard. I felt so overwhelmed and I honestly just really didn't know what to do with myself. I was scared. So yeah. I think the main thing that I tried to do that I guess made it a little bit easier is just get involved with things. I joined a mentorship program. So I was a mentee with someone at Dal, and they would meet with me once a week and a couple of other students and sort of talk to us about how we were dealing with online learning, functioning, changing from high school to university. So that really helped me. I got to meet a couple of people that at least were in first year as well, even though maybe they weren't necessarily in my classes or in my program. I got to meet people. So that helped my transition. And then also just kind of joining societies. I joined the Women in Business Association and the Accounting Society because they're two societies that I was interested in, and they were doing online events. They were still active, whereas like some of the other societies and on-campus opportunities had just kind of stopped in 2020. So I joined those and that helped my transition a bit as well. But definitely the biggest thing was just trying to meet people and overcome online learning, which I think everyone at the time felt that year.
Yeah, as I said to you earlier, when we were just talking at the beginning before we started the podcast, you know, this is a unique experience and so like foreign to many people who didn't live through that and the transition you've had. Just curious to your thoughts about some of the skills you had to think about differently. Like you said about connecting, I bet communication too must have been a bigger, like, how do you almost over communicate to talk to people to get to know them? What was that like? Yeah.
I honestly just felt so scared because like I said, it was the normal normal anxiety of just starting university, like the imposter syndrome. Am I good enough? Can I be here? Am I going to be successful in this program? Is this what I want to do with my life? And you're having that additional layer of having to do it remotely. So I think my communication skills was the biggest thing. I think that I've always been like fairly strong with communication, but just like online, if you can't see someone's face, if a professor has no video on, that's confusing. I don't know necessarily what they're going to say or what they're going to be teaching. And it's just hard to connect people. So I think I had to learn how to communicate in new ways verbally, like in writing as well. A lot of them were sending emails because you couldn't necessarily speak to someone in a lecture all the time. And it was hard. But I made it work and it was definitely a very steep learning curve. But like I said, everyone else was facing the same thing. So I sort of just kept reminding myself I wasn't the only one. It's not just me and that we're all going through this together. And that sort of helped me feel more comfortable and eventually get my footing and find my place at Dow.
I tell you, the adaptability and the resilience skills you just talked built ain't gonna help. It's gonna help you for your entire life, really. It's incredible. So thinking about your Chancellor Scholarship recipient, which congratulations for, you've excelled academically, clearly. How do you balance your academic pursuits with your extracurricular activities?
Yeah, so as I mentioned earlier, I think that my biggest superpower is I'm hyper organized. And that's something that maybe is just within my personality and how I grew up and who I was surrounded by. But it was also something I had to learn throughout my time at Dal. And as I started to take on these additional responsibilities and want to also still be successful within my university courses. I'm a big list maker. Every single time I start a semester, I'm going through the syllabus, seeing what due dates I have, and I make a big Excel sheet of everything I have to do that semester, all the dates, and it's all color-coded and organized so I can visually see it. I'm a visual person. I like to see things in front of me. I can't just necessarily remember I have an assignment due or I have a meeting. So I'm a big calendar user, big list maker. It's a list of all the things I have to do through the semester, and then I make daily and weekly lists and kind of prioritize action points. So that's a big thing for me, is definitely staying organized. And I also think just being self-aware to budget your time. School is not going to be the only thing I'm doing in a week. I also want to make time for those extracurricular activities and leadership roles, like you mentioned. But that being said, I do prioritize me time during the week. So I have time where I go on do not disturb. I'm not available. I'm focusing on my schoolwork. My phone's put away. Maybe I have a timer set so I know, okay, I'm going to spend 2 hours. I'm going to do this lecture, like take some time, put away my phone. And then when I'm done, I'm available. And then I'm on messages again. I'm communicating with people that I'm working with in my extracurricular activities, working with them, collaborating, but being able to take time for myself my own commitments, and then also making time for those fun things that I like to do in addition. You have to be able to set boundaries, and sometimes it can be a little difficult, but being able to communicate with other people your boundaries and let them know, hey, on Wednesdays in the afternoon, that's my time I'm really focusing on this class or my academics. Like, let's have a chat Wednesday night or Thursday morning. I'll be available then. So just communicating your own capacity and making sure that you have time for yourself and also getting your own things done, because I do feel overwhelmed sometimes. Like, I'm not always perfect. And sometimes my schedule isn't exactly what I had hoped it would be. And things come up and I have to be able to adapt pivot to new things that come up. So being able to ask for help when I need it too has also been helpful. I'm really proud of myself for all the amazing accomplishments that I've had in life, but they're not just my accomplishments. I say they're my accomplishments of the other people and the amazing people I have in my life. So just like, for example, this semester, I had some health problems. I had to take a couple of weeks. I couldn't physically really leave my house much. There wasn't much I could do about it. And I had to take some time to really rest and focus on my health. So I reached out to people in my extracurricular activities. I said, hey, I'm having this personal health problem. I'm not going to be able to attend these events that I planned. Can you spearhead it? Or can you work with this employer, welcome them into the event, fundraise, do this thing that I had originally planned? Here's the resources you need. Can you help me with this? And being okay to ask for help and being self-aware that I can't necessarily do everything sometimes has really helped me. And I definitely think it was something that wasn't a super strong skill of mine in first and second year, but I've built up over time, grown my connections at Dal, and just throughout my time being here, that there is people that I can trust to lean on, whether that's in extracurricular activities or school as well. And I lean on those people when I need them. And I try to be self-aware that I'm not going to be perfect. I can't do everything. So to open my mouth and ask for help when I need it is really super important.
Yeah. Listening to you and wow, I think you should actually teach a course on time management, first of all, because the things that the listeners can take from this too is so chock full of information as far as, you know, asking for help, learning how to, and this is always not easy. Like I heard it too, as you're describing, learning when you need help, but also when to delegate things so that you can get better, right? And when you're someone who's super organized and really, you know, wanting to see the best for everyone, it's tough sometimes to let that go, but I really, wow, really, really great feedback and insights for the listeners. Thank you for sharing that. Also, I really want to talk so much about the Dalhousie Women in Business. It's super impressive. What inspired you to join this organization? And then how has it shaped you both personally and professionally?
Yeah, so I have kind of a specific story, I guess, as to why I joined. When I was in grade 11, I did lots of extracurricular activities, and I was in a youth humanitarian organization, and I met some great mentors through that organization. It was fantastic. I got to do lots of volunteering, and it was amazing. And I did have someone that I sort of met through that program that I had viewed as a mentor at the time. I viewed him very highly. He gave me a lot of advice, super willing to work with me, really was a wonderful person. And he asked me one time in grade 11, what do you see yourself doing after high school? What do you want to do? What are your goals or your path? Like, where are you going to go? And I said, well, I'm really interested in business, maybe accounting, finance, or maybe like I'll go to law school. I have really big dreams. I want to do all these fantastic things. And I'm telling him all about these things. And his response was not what I had hoped. He kind of came back to me with, well, maybe you should dream a little less, think of some roles that maybe we better suited for women. He was a little older, and I was just very shocked with that response. It wasn't what I was expecting him to say, just based off of all the positive experiences I'd had with him in the past. I was very, very surprised. I was confused. Yeah. And I was 16 years old. I didn't know how to respond. I had viewed him so highly. I kind of just sat there. I was at a loss for words. And I went home that day and I really reflected on it. And I was so disappointed in myself and embarrassed. I didn't speak up for myself and I didn't say anything to reply. Growing up, my father has always told me you can't control another person's actions, but you can control how you react to them.
Very
so
true.
I think kind of from that moment on, I thought to myself that I was going to actively react and try and not have a situation like that occur again. So a couple of years later, I started at Dal, did end up joining the commerce program, and I actually eventually ended up declaring a major in accounting. But first joined Dal, I sought out those opportunities for women in leadership by joining the Women in Business Association. Like I said, also the association was one that was active during COVID and doing online events in comparison to some of the other societies and associations at Dalhousie that weren't. So that also drew me to the association as well. I was excited to join. I got hired as a first year rep, did a lot of posting on social media, reposting their events, attending, helping out with the annual conference, taking attendance. So definitely a lot of random things I did in first year, but I loved it. So then I kind of put my name in for an executive slot. I applied. I was encouraged. My parents were really, really encouraging for me just to like try. I wanted to get more involved. I knew that I was going to be able to physically be on campus in second year. So I applied for an exec role, was chosen to be conference co-chair, and I was really, really excited. I was the only second year on the exec team, so I was definitely super nervous, but got to join, get more involved. And I've learned so, so much from my time with the association in so many ways. Also, just like I said previously, I built my communication skills through doing online school at Dal. That continued through the association. Our annual conference is something that we have to raise money for in the association. So we don't get funding from the university, and it usually costs about $40,000 a year to fund it. So I got to gain communication skills through cold calling, emailing, communicating with people I didn't know, pitching sponsorship packages, trying to get people to give funding for this amazing event. So it helped me develop professional skills in that sense of just communicating my ideas and really building those soft skills, building my confidence too as a leader and as a woman, as a person. We now have a fantastic exec team of 14 amazing women, as well as a council of 16. So it's a really, really big association. We have over 250 general members. So it's huge. I get to communicate with so, so many people all the time. And managing people can be difficult. I haven't been perfect. I'm not going to ever be perfect, but I think that understanding that I can't be perfect and there's going to be bumps along the way and things that are going to come up has really shaped my myself as a professional. Definitely humbled me and helped me learn so many new skills, and I've had an amazing time. But just being able to adapt to unexpected situations, I think the association as a whole has really helped me develop, because so many things come up. And like I said, there's so many people involved and lots of money and planning and random tasks you might not have thought you'd be involved in. Things happen, and being able to adapt is important. And I think that that's probably one of the biggest things that the association has helped me develop really as a young professional.
It's amazing. And listening to you, how it all started and what, you know, I talk often to people, and we talk on this podcast a lot, that like words matter, right? And when people say things, sometimes they don't realize the effect it can have on someone who is receiving it. And in this case, you know, as you're talking about it, I can tell it's still so vivid for you how that went down. Yeah. And now how you've turned that into such a positive experience and changed things and made it and looking to make it better for other women. And but I really think there's a key lesson there for a lot of people to think about as they're going through different changes and challenges, because a lot of times you'll get advice, and sometimes it's not the right advice. And, you know, you hold this person such in high regard that sometimes you really need to back up and really say what's in your heart and gut, and what you've done with what you've accomplished with this is amazing. Because I do hear many people share with me sometimes how they've gotten this advice and it felt wrong. And I'm like, well, if it feels wrong, then it's not for you. And maybe you've either outgrown that person, or maybe they didn't misunderstood it or whatever. But thank you for sharing such a personal story. You know, I want to ask you, given your passion for this empowering women in business, what initiatives or changes would you like to see implemented to create more inclusive and supportive environments for women in business? Because you're creating that in the school environment, you're creating it with your outreach and your programs. But thinking more about the environment for women in the business world, still continues to be a thing, right? Unfortunately, it's still, you know, pay parity, all those things. But what would you like to see more of?
I would just say more mentorship opportunities. A lot of companies do have them in place, formal mentorship opportunities that you can go in, and there is female mentors you can go and sort of learn from. But there's also a lot of industries that women are underrepresented in, for example, like finance, and you might not see a lot of women in the workplace, and you might not be able to just go up to someone and ask for advice because you might be the only female on the team. So I think companies need to be aware that even if there's an underrepresented industry that women maybe aren't super dominant in, to make sure that those mentorship opportunities are there to encourage more females to join. Because if you don't have the mentorship opportunities there, I'm not going to feel welcomed or want to join your company or your team, right? You have to really encourage me to want to take part. And if I'm not going to see an opportunity to get mentorship and to continue to develop and learn, I'm probably not going to want to join. So they're continuing this cycle by not having those opportunities. So I think it's just more important if, especially there's a sector that women are not as represented as often in and as much, to have those mentorship opportunities. Also just being flexible. I think COVID has really helped with this, being able to have work online or work from home. If maybe you're a female who has had a child, or you do have childcare, you don't get childcare during the day, and you want to be able to also take care of your children, or balance with your partner to have childcare, having those options. And that goes for men and women in the workplace that have children and have other responsibilities at home. So just being flexible, because I know a lot of companies since COVID are kind of doing the forced like return to work and be in person, which is great. Being in person is super important and I think does have a lot of benefits, but there's also some people that maybe because of their family responsibilities at home can't physically be in the office. So I think that those opportunities should still be provided. You can still do fantastic and amazing work and contribute to organizations at home. And those opportunities should be made available for people who do maybe have family responsibilities and other things that mean they can't necessarily work a 9-to-5. They might need to pick up their kids during the day, or they might need to be at home caring for children or other members of their family as well. So I think that those are other things just to be thinking of. But like I said, I do feel COVID has honestly helped us a little bit in that sense. And I hope that we can continue to be flexible and really willing to make sure that we're not missing out on talent in the workplace because we're restricting people by where they can work and what time of day they can work.
And I think employers, thank you. I think employers need to listen more to this generation and not think that they have it figured out, because what you expressed, and I picked up there too, is it's not so black and white on the return to office. It's more having that flexibility. And I think we're all at the end of the day, we're all adults and your work's going to speak for itself. So if you're not working, it'll be evident, right? But having that flexibility, especially if you're starting a young family, or being able to it doesn't have to be so rigid in the way it was for years. And as you look at that, and also I really do like your idea of the mentorship and providing opportunities for women in business to think that, to see that organization having that support and those opportunities for young women to thrive. Right now, professional development in the workplace is something that a lot of companies are struggling with, because they're just trying to hit their revenue targets and bottom lines and different things. And people are speaking out, just like you, about that opportunity, right? And yeah, you might go to work, enjoy the job, but it doesn't mean you're going to, or maybe not even enjoy the job, you might not stay. Talking about work, and I think this is a key thing for young people who are looking at universities and colleges and such, having those opportunities to do work integrated learning. And I know you worked at KPMG and the Government of Canada, which is fantastic. What's your thoughts on those experiences? And maybe to the listeners, if they're thinking about, should I go into a program that offers me this ability to do school and work? And what's your thoughts about that?
I think it's fantastic. My big thing about joining the commerce program at Dalhousie was because there was that built-in co-op. And I maybe necessarily didn't get summers off like a lot of other students who do university programs. I was either working or doing classes in the summertime to make sure I could get all the requirements I needed to complete my degree in the 4 years. But work integrated learning experiences are just so amazing. They give you professional experience before starting full time. Especially right now, it is difficult to get employed post grad. It's really hard. Even if you have a university degree, you're not necessarily going to find something right away. Yep. So really joining a program that has an opportunity to do co-op, whether that's a required co-op that's built into the program, like Dalhousie's Commerce Program, or if it's another school that at least has the option to do an internship or do a co-op program, if it's 1, 2, or 3, just the option to try and go and have an experience, I think is amazing. Both my opportunities at KPMG and CRA gave me the chance to see, do I like this role? You don't necessarily know what it's going to be like to work in finance or to work in accounting. It's a really big industry. Just to say that you want to be an accountant or you want to work in finance, you don't necessarily know what that means until you're placed in a role. And there's so many different opportunities within so many different companies that you just haven't been exposed to if you don't get that real world experience. So I think just going into both my experience with CRA and my public accounting experience with KPMG, learning that there's a lot out there, and also getting comfortable with the unknown, because I have been a very dedicated student and I have spent a lot of my time focusing on academics. but you're not going to know everything in the real world. And even if you're an A-plus student and you have a perfect GPA, you have to be comfortable with not knowing things and not having all the answers. And doing those work integrated learning experiences allowed me to get comfortable with that, because that was something I think that was a weakness of mine joining university. I did come into university with a very large scholarship. I had close to a perfect GPA in high school, and I didn't have a lot of experience with failure and not knowing what I was doing. It wasn't something that I had experienced before. So being put in real life situations where I'm maybe talking to clients or I'm in a workplace and I don't understand how to do a task was really humbling for me and really helpful to develop as a professional that I didn't have that experience with in university. And I stress it so much because people can tell you that you're not going to be able to be perfect. They can tell you you're not going to know things. You're not going to understand what it feels like until it actually happens to you. And it's such an eye-opening experience. And I'm not going to lie, it's scary. And it can be honestly very upsetting the first time it happens to you, but it's built me up so much. And just learning that I can't retain all the knowledge. Both the CRA and KPMG put me through very intense training modules. I had to learn what is an audit. I had to learn about excise duty and taxes. I had to see all this gross information in front of my eyes and had no idea what half of the words meant. And I had to be okay with and sitting there and telling myself, Stephanie, you're not going to be able to retain all of it. Try your best. Take the information, keep these resources. So when you're put in those situations and you're trying to do the work, you can refer back. You can give the task a try. You can use these resources to do your best. It's not going to be perfect. You're not going to necessarily know everything. So that's the biggest takeaway for me. But I stress, like, if you're in high school and you're going to go to university program, look for those opportunities that you're going to have work integrated learning. It's the best thing that I'm taking out of my time at Dalhousie. And I'm so, so thankful. The program is set up so nicely that I get the opportunity to do that. So I just can't stress, really look into it before you get there, because it's going to be so valuable when you get the chance to actually do it.
Huge plug for work integrated learning, and so important. Listening to you describe it and their experiences and how it opened your eyes. Like, I tell every person I can tell, I'm like, get into school, but have some sort of work outlet, whether, like you said, internship, co-op, formal co-op, whatever it is. Because you're right, you know, and you probably saw this first, I mean, you did see it firsthand, and it's great advice to listeners, because I've had students come to me once they've been at the organization of some of the ones I've been at and said, wow, I was a great problem solver in school. And and I said, you were? And I said, yeah, like math and this and that. Now I got a problem solve in a group. Right? It's a whole different dynamic. And I think that's why having it interwoven, you get to develop those skills differently. But, like, to your point, you also get to explore, right? You get to explore these different organizations and see what, start making that, I would say, make that list, what I like to do, what I don't like to do, what I like to do. And eventually you get an idea of where you want to end up, even maybe not organizationally, but just in your head, what you want to be doing with your time, right? So great, Stephanie. Thank you so much for highlighting that. It's so important. Let's talk about role models, mentors. I know, you know, networking is a big thing, and I know that's a big part of finding opportunities. But like you said, role models and mentors can be also super important. Is there someone or opportunities to talk about that and maybe also enlighten the listeners about how do you go about, you know, finding a mentor? You know, sometimes it feels very, what's the right word I want to say? It's sort of mechanical, but I think organic is a better way. But what has been your experience?
I definitely think that I've found a lot of my mentors organically, as you said, and it's been fantastic. I think going about it with an open mind. So whenever you're entering a work opportunity or even just in school, going in with an open mind, like I said, you don't know everything. So being open to not necessarily always knowing exactly what you're looking to learn, but just knowing that you're looking to learn something. So that was really the mindset I took into KPMG when I started my work term. I didn't know if I was going to like it, if I was going to want to major in accounting. I didn't know if audit would be for me or if tax, digital integration, all the different things. So I went in with an open mind and I naturally found a mentor that way. I had a really, really great manager, and she was a female, and she was really inspiring for me. She uplifted me, encouraged me to get out of my comfort zone. And she was the one who really helped me learn that you can't know everything and it's okay. Take a second, just keep trying. And I think that the biggest thing that she honestly did for me was looked for upwards feedback herself as a mentor and as a manager, because I think a lot of the time, sometimes we forget that when we get into leadership roles or management roles, we also need that mentorship ourselves. So it was
That's
a two-way relationship. I learned from her to step out of my comfort zone, try new things, how to be confident in myself. And she learned from me, how can she better support a co-op student? How can she support a young professional as a female joining this industry? And it was a two-way relationship for both of us. So she was absolutely fantastic. As I said, I did meet her organically. I was placed on one of her files when I had started with the firm. And then I was had the pleasure of working with her all three of my terms for different periods of time. And it was amazing. And she was fantastic. So I definitely think that she is a huge role model for me. And also just both of my parents, I'm so thankful. I know there's a lot of people who don't have supportive families that are willing to let them explore anything they want. And both of my parents growing up told me to do whatever I want, that lifted me up, built my confidence, told me that I was amazing and can go out into the world and do anything that I set my mind to. And I think it is unfortunate that it's sad that not everyone's family is as supportive and sometimes really push them in certain directions to do certain things. But I was lucky enough to have family that didn't do that. I also have an amazing brother as well, always cheering me on from the sidelines, and I really look up to him. I think that we're very different personality wise, but I still learn from him every single day, and he learns from me and always uplifts me to encourage me, lifts me up when sometimes things don't go my way, and reminds me that not everything's always going to be perfect, and that's okay. So he's definitely a role model of mine. And also just looking for opportunities in school. It doesn't always have to be formal. Go talk to your professors. They're really knowledgeable, and a lot of them are willing to get to know you. So at Dalhousie, a lot of the accounting professors are fantastic. They've had public accounting experience, and I am lucky that a lot of them are females. So I've felt comfortable really approaching them, chatting with them. They've written me so many reference letters, letters of recommendation, willing to have me at their office hours.
Nice.
Get to know the people around you. You don't necessarily have to go up to someone on the street or in a co-op and be like, will you be my mentor? But hey, can I have a coffee with you? Or you have this really cool experience on your resume or worked at this really cool company I'm interested in. Can I chat with you about that?
Yep.
And that's a great way to sort of go about it. You don't necessarily have to find a formal program. Just finding something maybe you have in common with someone, reaching out to them and being polite and respectful and saying, hey, I'd love to learn from you. I'd love to ask you a couple of questions. Great way about finding a mentor. And you can do that whether or not you're in high school and you maybe are interested in starting a university program. Go find someone who's done the program before, someone who's worked somewhere you're interested, and just ask. Just, you know, worst they can say is no, and that's okay. Maybe they will, but maybe they'll say yes, and then you can learn
That's
something
right.
from that.
That's right. That's right. And such great insight, Stephanie. And I think, thank you too for sharing like your experiences in that space, because there's a lot of listeners on this calls who, like you said, may not have that family support or even knowledge of what they're pursuing, right? Some of the first generation folks that have moved here with their young children who have now entered into the school workforce and things like that, it was very different in their home country. So they don't always know how to advise or mentor or coach. And I think what you shared with the audience that's super helpful is you can find these people or these mentors or these people to connect with in various different ways. Not be afraid to ask, right? Generally speaking, like you said, what can they say no? If they say no, then you find the person you connect with, and they say yes, and you have someone that you can talk to, and most importantly, trust to be open with, right? I mean, that's the biggest part I find with mentorship, is it's a two-way street, but you have to share vulnerabilities in order for that to work, right? This is so awesome. This has been such an awesome podcast. So much information. It's glowing with information and content, and you're terrific. I just want to say lastly, if we could go back and give advice to your high school self, what would you say? What lessons or insights would you share maybe with some of the high school listeners who are embarking on their own journeys right now?
I would just say, don't find an excuse to not do something. In life, it can be really, really easy to be closed off and look at things from one lens and maybe how you were raised, where you came from. Try to not do that. Try new things, challenge yourself, step outside of your comfort zone, look for new opportunities. Because like I said, the world is really, really big. There's lots out there. You don't necessarily know where you're gonna end up, and it can be really easy to think you know exactly where you're gonna be, but you don't. And that's okay. And you have to be okay with the unknown and not knowing where you're going to fit in. But don't be afraid to put yourself out there. And the worst that can happen is you make a mistake. But in my personal opinion, those mistakes and the challenges you overcome are really what make you who you are. And those lived experiences are going to be so much more beneficial to you than just doing the exact same thing every day and following the same schedule and always going about the same route. There's so many things in life I haven't experienced and I want to continue experience. And just because I'm graduating university and continuing on into the world doesn't mean that I'm done. I'm still going to keep an open mind. I'm still going to be looking for those experiences. So whether or not you're 16, 25, or if you're 45, keep an open mind, keep looking for learning opportunities. We're never too old, never too young to learn. And yeah, give yourself a pat on the back because you've probably overcome lots in life and you'll continue to overcome more things, but that's okay. Those mistakes are really what make you who you are, and overcoming challenges, you should be proud of yourself for doing that. So just keep pushing.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. I want to end on that note, but I just want to ask you, is there anything else you wanted to share with the listeners before we closed out for today?
No, I don't think so. Just like I said, keep going. The worst that can happen is someone says no, or you make a mistake, but that's okay. So yeah.
Yeah. And we learn from those mistakes, right? Mm-hmm. So it's how you grow. But wow, Stephanie, I can't thank you enough. It's been amazing talking with you today, sharing all your insights, and so excited to get this out there for other listeners to hear about it. And I thank you so much for taking time out of your day to be part of this.
Thank you so much, Brian, for taking time out of your day to have me. I've never actually had an experience like this before. So this was my new learning experience that I tried and I put myself out there to do. So just proof that you can do it. So thank you so much for having me. And it's really been a wonderful experience.
Awesome. Awesome. So for our listeners, if you liked what you heard today, you can share this with your podcast, with your network. We're on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. Also, if you give us a rating, and you can follow us on Instagram at Coffee with Convery, where all of our episodes are featured. So this has been Coffee with Convery. Thank you again, Stephanie. For our listeners, stay well, and we'll see you soon.